I'm Ming Hollern. I live in the Fifth Ward, right around the corner from that. Since I heard about it, I've been generally in favor of the project from the things that I heard. I understand the concern you're describing, but the counterweight doesn't equal it or cancel it out, but that's among the worst intersections, I would dare say, in the county. There are hydrology issues which have been long ignored by the city. We can see where mental health went in and the city didn't have to, so didn't do anything, and the timbers are falling down. If you drove up here or walked, you can't walk on that side of the street. I think this is an excellent opportunity to, with a project this size, get a crosswalk. Something as simple as letting people know audibly that all traffic is stopped in five directions is what you have there, because there's a right turn arrow. So there's five choices of where a moving vehicle can come from. And my 20 plus years there, I don't think there's ever a time when all lights are red. And if there is, you can't be certain of that because you can't see in the time you have to run across. So there are water issues coming, running down through the backyards in Bailey, the backyards on Green Street. And I think this is an excellent opportunity to have that addressed by whatever surfaces take care of water better, whatever plantings take care of water better, and plantings that absorb some of the smooch, you know, that comes from all the truck traffic. So I think there is also that concern. Something has got to be done up there, both about that intersection and the hydrology. I hope the Conservation Committee will, I've invited them up a couple times, come and look at it. It's a real issue. And at the end of Bailey Boulevard, where that water goes in, that's an emerging wetlands. So on the
state. Because of that water?
chicken or the egg, I'm not sure, but it was emerging as of something 6 or 7 years ago, but I'm not opposed to it. There would be things that I would want to see solved. I asked about the lighting. Michael Harris said it's lighting
it's,
now.
It's
commercial.
All, yeah, it's all
yeah.
down. So it's
right.
all downlit LED
right.
Fixtures. So the lighting you would still see it, but it wouldn't escape off the property line. Right. And I'm not going to try and convince anyone that it's lighting. I mean, in comparison to a night sky, it's relatively bright. There is a way we can control, the level of intensity of the light, but yeah, it all is downlit LED fixtures. I want to talk one point about what Eileen said and one part of what you said.
Sure.
So in reference to what Eileen said, in regards to pedestrian accessibility and the hydrology, in regards to pedestrian accessibility, the current store is definitely not pedestrian accessible. With what we are proposing, first of all, DOT would require limited curb cuts, which the current Fairview side does not currently have. We would have a entrance off Fairview, so you wouldn't have to enter the lot to go into the store, where you currently have to go into the lot to get to the front door. The second thing is regarding the hydrology. It wouldn't qualify for a stormwater pollution prevention plan because it's just not a large enough site. Stormwater pollution prevention plans are over an acre of disturbance in the combined amount that we're purchasing. That just doesn't get us there. But what we can't do is a post-development runoff situation can't exceed the current situation. So we can still discharge the same amount of water off the site, but we can't do it at an increased rate. So what happens now is that there's no control, there's no structures, no catch basins, no piping, and everything just sheet flows off. So we will be able to improve that element if we get that part. To speak with, to your point about the housing, and again, I'm not from Hudson, and I can't certainly be from every place where Stewart's is located, because we have a lot of them. The reason that I asked Libby to attend is Libby did the post-benefit agreement between Global Foundries and the town of Malta. So there are ways we can mitigate the impact on the housing stock, but obviously the legislative body of the city would have to determine if a robot, or you know, if it improves Stewart's with alternative access points and a new building benefits the city more than the housing units. Now we can mitigate that by using the city's housing authority, creating some type of funding mechanism of that nature to offset the impact that we're having on the housing stock. But we certainly cannot take Stewart's off the corner of Fairview and Green and just put it anywhere else, you know, put it anywhere else in the city.
Well, two things you just said are quite interesting, and they're good to hear, that you'd be willing to help with the infrastructural needs of that area. Now, that's an issue, a big issue, I think. And I totally agree, that is one dangerous corner, and the fact that people utilize Stewart's parking lot is a way to go miss one of the lights. And, you know, twice in my life I've almost been hit by vehicles, you know, streaming through there. So, you know, this has got to change regardless. And then to come back secondly and say you're willing to work with the city in housing, because housing is critical in this community, and affordable housing. And these two houses currently represent potentially, as John said, close to possibly 20, but that's the number we're throwing out there, 21 individuals. And those 21 individuals are going to be displaced, and that's, you know, that's something that we got to be, we have to be very concerned about.
Now, some of them, now, again, some of them are not completely tenancy situations. So I believe the owners, I mean, this, I apologize, I forgot your name, but this gentleman lives in, his family lives in portions of the housing. So while it's four units and then two units, they're both owner-occupied.
Well, owner-occupied or rental, someone, six of one, maybe
it's pretty close, but I'm still saying the property owner has the right to sell their property.
Listen, whether it's tenanted or not, the property owner has the right to sell.
Yeah, right, but I'm just saying it's not, I'm not, we're not, it's not like we're displacing, and again, the timing element of this it is not something where, you know, obviously with tenancy rights, you know, there's a they have a legal right to the property under their lease. But Stewart's is not going to, I mean, we're going to do this with enough timing to accommodate the relocation of anyone living in the house.
And one last comment for this committee, for the city. This is the interest to a lot of people. And this is an opportunity to improve possibly the interest to Hudson. Even if Stewart's didn't want to enlarge, I would personally push at this point to make a change in that, because it is so dangerous, and you know, with the various lights, it's a little absurd. Then you throw in one of our coin drop things on a weekend, and it's crazy down
there. But the issue is Stewart's is willing to do it, but we can't.
I understand. No, I understand.
Yeah, like our,
yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah,
no, no, I understand. I'm, yeah. Like I'm saying, I would love to fix it if I could, but I can't.
No,
And I will.
Right.
And very, you know, just, and this is just very, if obviously if this does not go forward and it's decided that we can't proceed, then we won't. I mean, but we will. That store will remain.
It'll be business as usual.
Yeah, it'll be business as usual, because this, we have a pre-existing non-conforming use, which is element one, but the other side of the coin is we think this is the best location in Hudson. So our business is gonna, you know, we're gonna stay in business there. But it's just not, I don't think it's gonna be a building representative of what we want. It's certainly not a building representative of your design standards. And it, trust me, was not easy, Libby wouldn't be here.
Okay.
I'd be here nonetheless.
So let's hear from some people who live in the neighborhood. You want it? I appreciate
Michael
it.
Michael and Sawyer.
Yes, sir.
I live across the street, 12 Fairview Avenue. I've been there for 60 years. I'm an expert on Fairview Avenue. Okay? When I look out my front window, I look down Green Street, I can see all the way down to the funeral home. And I turn around and look out my kitchen window, and I can see all the way up to Scallon's Pizza. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to correct here. Just that I read something that Carol had in her blog. Thank you very much. That's where I get a lot of my news. She's on her staff. One of the paragraphs that I read right off said something about safety. Now, I'd like to know where the safety issue comes up all of a sudden that this Stewart's is going to correct the safety problem. Now, her blog cited several accidents recently on that corner. I've lived there for 60 years. The accidents aren't any more or any less than they were in 1972. Now, I sit there every night and I have my dinner at Fairview and Green Street, and every night at 6 o'clock, 6:30, the ambulance flies out Fairview Avenue because there's an accident on Fairview Avenue. Accidents happen where people leave the street and get onto the street. The Massachusetts Turnpike, the exits don't happen between Lee, exit 2, and exit 3 up there in the mountains. It's a 30-mile stretch. There's no accidents. The accidents happen at the intersection. You're not going to fix the intersection from accidents. People are bad drivers. I got hit pulling into the Social Security office on Market Street. People are bad drivers. There's accidents. This is not going to cure the accident thing. As far as crossing the street, yes, that's the difficulty. If you look at the bottom of all of the lights back in the 60s, there was one on the bottom that said walk. That's not there anymore. Now, that's the safety thing. It's not going to get any safer. People coming down from the hospital, coming down that hill, if they want to get in Stewart's, they got to take a left and cross a line of traffic. People coming up Green Street want to get in Stewart's, they got to take a left and come in, cross the traffic that's flying around the corner down Green Street. People coming in 23, if they want to get in Stewart's, they got to cross a line of traffic coming out. The Stewart's isn't going to do anything for traffic safety unless you put in a pedestrian overpass or a tunnel or fix the walk light. But that's the DPW, that's the city. Stewart's is not going to address the safety issue.
It's
not going to get any safer. So if anybody thinks it's going to get any safer there, it's not. And if you make a bigger, better Stewart's where you can get more customers in there buying more gas, that means more people are going to be entering, more people are going to be exiting. We're going to have more accidents. The other thing I read on Carol's blog said that since Stewart's was a good neighbor, we consider this issue. I've been a neighbor before Stewart's was there. It used to be William Tecumseh Sherman's mobile station. All right. And in that 60 years, nobody has ever come from Stewart's over my house and picked up one single piece of paper. And every morning I go out and there's a candy wrapper and there's a lottery ticket. You know, that's the good neighbor Stewart's is. Okay? The snow plows come in at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night. And every time they go through the lot, bang, they drop the plow. Boom, you can't sleep when it snows. Nice snowy night, you think you're going to go to sleep? No. The snow plows come at 12 o'clock. Now, they're talking about, I come in a little bit late, and you're talking about some kind of landscaping up there. Has anybody seen the landscaping at Stewart's that's there now? My 4 tomato plants and 2 cucumber plants that I bought at Lowe's cost more than the landscaping that's at Stewart's now. That's the truth. That's the good name. Okay, and we're dealing with Stewart's here. We're not dealing with Mr. and Mrs. Keeler from Spook Rock Road that got it there. Stewart's, last year, according to your website, did $1.5 billion in sales. $1.5 billion in sales. They're bigger than Ginsburg's and Colorado's put together. They got 337 stores. And now they want to make a bigger store in a residential neighborhood where I can't turn my garage into a mother-in-law's unit. So if we're going to change some zoning and build a giant Stewart's, who's going to stop me from turning my garage into a mother-in-law? Or hooking up with my partner Muhammad here, who owns number 14, and we'll sell out and we'll sell it to 7-Eleven. You change the zoning for Stewart's, you're going to change it for me too. My house is for sale, $375,000. If Stewart's wants to guarantee that price, if I'm forced to sell for less, I want my $375,000. Stewart made profit $33 million last year. Nobody's picking up paper my street. There's no landscaping. The landscapers, get this, the landscapers, when the landscapers come down, they come from Walter, Clifton Park. And they muss around and they dump two bags of wood chips and put in three marigolds. Three marigolds one year, they were this high, bang, bang, bang. That's the landscaping for Stewart's. You know, and we're dealing with an oil company. Remember the big deal in here when Hess wanted to change from their little booth and build their store when it was the Hess thing. And the mayor was here and they had a big meeting in here. And the mayor said, you know, we depend on that free air there at the Hess station, you know. There's people in Hudson really need to put air in their car tires. It's the only place you can fix a flat. And a representative from the gas company says, oh, yo, don't worry, we'll just take care of that. The air thing, it's going to be great. Within 6 months, that was broken, and now the thing takes credit cards. And now it's a speedway. And who's to say Stewart's is going to be there forever now? Volvo, last week, announced that in 2019, all Volvos will be electric. Not just some of the Volvos, all of the Volvos will be electric. It's coming. So we need to sell more gas. There was a big deal made lately about the anchorages on the Hudson River for the fuel barge. Oh, we can't park the fuel barges on the Hudson River because people are going to see it and it's dangerous. You know, we don't want any fuel barges parked in Hudson River. But in the city of Hudson, we'll build a double-sized gas station. That's what the people need, a double-sized gas station. There's plenty of places in Hudson to buy gas. The people that live around Stewart's, me, Eileen, Muhammad, we don't drive to Stewart's. We walk. So you're going to set up a giant Stewart's to service people that are coming in from Worth Avenue and going out Fairview Avenue. Or coming in Fairview Avenue, flying through town, stop at Stewart's. Does the city benefit? Not at all. Not at all. There's nothing in it for the city. There's nothing in this deal for the city, except more for Stewart's. The street sweeper ain't going to come by my house any more times than it does. The snow plows ain't going to get any better. The lights ain't going to, traffic lights ain't going to change. Nothing's going to get better with a new giant Stewart's. Okay? They're not going to sell. They're not going to put a butcher in there. There's not going to be a salad bar. It's going to be another Stewart's that looks like the Stewart's in Chatham. Now, how would you like me to tell my kid? Oh, boy, I can't wait, Eddie, till we get us a Stewart just like they got in Chatham. I'm so happy. That's something to aspire to, a Stewart's like they got in Germantown or a Stewart's like they got in Chatham. Clean up the building. Call in the architect there, Frank Gehry, you know, and have him make a nice-looking gas station on our corner. That's the entrance to the city. There's beautiful homes around there. Now, this city of Hudson has come alive in the past 10 years. It started 20, 30 years ago with the antique dealers, but now it's really come alive, and people are benefiting from the increase in the price of their real estate. Now we want to take a step in the other direction. So Green Street doesn't get any better, but Allen Street will get, you can double your money if you bought on Allen Street, double your money if you bought on Union Street, State Street across from the Armory. They took something that's now for sale for $500,000. They picked it up for a song. It was falling down. That's $500,000 now on State Street. Okay? Why don't we share the new rebirth of the city with the other residents that just happen to live around? Oh, so it's only going to be going. We're going to have progress down here.
but we're not going to have it up here. Green Street looks like crap in the past 10 years. The laundry's moved in, they're doing business in there, but they can't afford a $20 can of paint and Lowe's to paint that particle board down in front of the place. You know, Green Street looks terrible. This giant gas station ain't fixing nothing except fixing something for Stewart. And I'm going to end. I got things to do. Somewhere in the city comprehensive plan, it says the city is committed to the gradual elimination of non-conforming use. That's what the city's committed to. Gradual elimination. Not, oh, gradual elimination over there, but over here, yeah, we'll bend the rule. I want a permit for my mother-in-law's unit. I'm my garage. Oh, no, the Stewart's can do it. I can sit at my kitchen table and look. Scally's Pizza. Creative Spaces, where they rent offices for them by the hour. Jason O'Toole Real Estate. American Legion. They're closed up. Stewart's. Rosary Flower Shop. Bates and Anderson. The dentist, Dr. Roll. Across the street? Nah. I can't run an office out of my place, but we'll change the zoning over here. This is all ridiculous. It's ridiculous to even think about this. Unless you want to call in Frank Gehry and make a really nice gas station, fine. But it's a gas station convenience store. It's not Mr. and Mrs. Keeler, Mr. and Mrs. Stewart that really need to expand their business and could use a little help. Far from it. The giant company that's come down here trying to sell something to the city of Hudson. And these companies come in here with the salesmen, and the people sit here and say, oh, yeah, that'll be good for Hudson. Oh, that'll be good for Hudson. Let's snatch. This will be good for Hudson. Oh, that'll be good for Hudson. Oh, let's get one of these. Somebody else is going to pay for it. Yeah, we'll get one of those. It doesn't work that way. It's ridiculous. They come in, salesmen come in from out of town. Next thing you know, they switch electricity providers. Oh, that was a good deal. Let me end. The city is committed to the gradual elimination of non-conforming use. When I don't get my permit, who's my son? Stewart's. You want to guarantee my price? $425,000 for my house? Oh, see, pay attention.
I pay attention to everything.
Well, there's no question that the concept of non-conforming use under zoning is that the zoning will eventually push out non-conforming uses. On the other hand, pretty much anybody who comes to the city and wants to do something here can usually get a hearing, and that's what we're getting today. But thanks.
So just a, I mean, just a couple of things.
You don't have to respond. It's fine. I do think that we just want to hear from some of the citizens for a while. So, another neighbor?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm not quite a neighbor. I live on Allen Street, and I helped somebody else double their money when I bought the house there. But I do drive by there all the time, and I agree with what you're Keith Knighton, sorry, 231. And I do agree that that is a very dangerous intersection. It's dangerous because of the flow in and out of Stewart's. I think it was a mistake to allow them in the first place, and I do agree that it would be appropriate for them to not be there from a safety standpoint, in addition to whatever other arguments their neighbors have. I think it would only get worse with a larger facility, and I don't see that there's a particularly easy way to cure the safety issues at intersection, even as it exists now, and to exacerbate, I think, would be incorrect and not a good thing to do. Thank
you. Wynn Jackson lived down the street from the corner there. In any situation where an extension or an exemption for a non-conforming use is considered, what does the city expect to get in return? I heard one full-time job, and I heard on the other side of the ledger, the loss of six housing units. And I, unless I'm missing, you mentioned some increase in revenue in the store and tax base.
Yeah, so we anticipate between the staff, you know, the current property contribution and sales tax contribution, we can anticipate a roughly 25% increase in that contribution.
And what is the value of the 25% increase? Are there other?
So basically, with the current combined school property, excise tax and sales tax, there's a $131,533 impact on the contribution. And redeveloped, we anticipate $166,650, which is a net change of $35,120. But the difference is that this is somewhat a complicated element, but that is one user who does not demand the services of the six units. So we'll contribute to the school tax base without ever sending children to the school.
I do that all the time. I do that more often than I like. And I don't make any money on it. It seems the benefits far to me in this, the liabilities far outweigh the benefits of this, and we're all talking about making the traffic flow better and controlling that corner so people don't cut through there. If there were houses there, none of that would immediately disappear, and it would be consistent with the zoning, and eliminate that non-conforming use. It's the non-conforming use that's making that corner the nightmare that it is. And I agree, I don't know what this gentleman's name was here, but your associate there said this is the worst steward shop I've ever been in my life. I would have to agree with her. And I don't agree with you that there's nothing steward shops could do to that location to make it better, absent expanding it and demolishing six housing units.
We can't go to the planning board for any element of a site plan change.
I don't think it's a site plan change. You could make the building a whole heck of a lot more attractive and maintain it a whole heck of a lot. You can't make it any attractive.
No, we can't.
You can't make any changes to a non-conforming use.
I thought it was just expanding, not.
No changes. So you can.
We could paint it. You could.
You would have to get a use variance to do anything.
But you can refurbish the existing building. Yeah.
I believe that you can. I don't believe that expansion is the thing, or relocation of the building on the property is the.
But that doesn't fix this.
Regardless, I think it's poorly maintained. I think it just is. I agree with her. The worst looking steward shop I've ever been in, and it's hard to believe that if it's expanded, it might look good for a while. But I don't think you've been a particularly good neighbor on that corner today. Thank you.
John, if I could just one. That Stewart's is, it's a neighborhood place. And for some of the folks who live there, that's where they get milk and bread and everything else. So it would make a change in the neighborhood. And nothing that Stewart's could do with the building they have will make that not the intersection of two truck routes. So anything that a project like this can do to get the state involved to help us reconfigure that corner, do the right things with the lights, I think it's an opportunity. We have not been successful as a city in getting the state to do anything about that intersection, maybe with the impetus of an economic development project and some goodwill from stewards. But to just leave that intersection status quo, I think we'll miss an opportunity.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm just looking at non-conforming use. It says, shall not be enlarged, extended, or placed on a different portion of the lot. It doesn't say anything about redoing the exterior or making it, the better landscaping of the existing.
Well, so, certainly not the landscaping.
We really hate the landscaping.
Our code doesn't touch landscaping.
I'm just talking about the entire visual experience of being on that corner. I think there's a lot that can be done that is not in contention with the non-conformity.
I don't think anybody disagrees that it's ugly. Was there anybody else from? Yeah.
Well, I'm not from the neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't really care at this point.
Carol Oster, I live on Allen Street, a street that Michael Sawyer envies apparently because it's not Green Street. But I'm sitting here flabbergasted listening to this committee, the same committee that is contemplating a ban on formula stores. Seriously, it would seem, contemplating accommodating stewards. A formula store who, wants to expand. It's a non-conforming use somewhere in the vision, at some point in the city fathers' vision for Hudson, there was not going to be a gas station on this corner. But now, you're contemplating expanding that. And I was originally going to say, if this is something you really, really, really think you have to do, then, make it a condition that they do a uniquely designed building for this corner, put it under the auspices of the Historic Preservation Commission, and let them know they're accustomed to and have some expertise in determining compatibility. Let them, review it and make certain it's designed to be compatible. But, after listening to Michael, who's lived across the street from that site for 60 years, he's right, a bigger station is not going to solve the problems on that corner. And it's going to, even a well-designed station is going to say, welcome to Hudson, here's a great big Stewart's. And that's sort of not what I think. And I was so happy to hear Michael talking about how poor Green Street is getting short shrift in Hudson these days. And, this is sort of one of my favorite little obsessions. But Green Street was called Green Street not for the county across the river. It was called Green Street because it was a tree-lined street with gracious homes on it. And in the 50s, we allowed not one, but three auto dealers to build buildings there. And we've still got those big empty buildings. So, I just find this quite surprising and quite appalling.
Well, let me put your mind at ease. Anybody who comes to the city is going to get a hearing. And because you get a hearing doesn't mean you get what you want. The HPC is pretty good at ensuring that. That's one thing. So I'm not really sure why you believe that this committee or any committee or the council as a whole, without consideration, and by consideration, just to differentiate myself from other people who sit up here and use that word, used to use that word, I've been thinking about it. Why we would just make a decision. It's a decision that needs to be made thoughtfully. The chain the chain retail legislation to exempt stewards per its terms. Because anybody who would be in violation of it by dint of the both the state and the federal constitution has to be grandfathered. So that would have no effect on them whatsoever.
I know that.
Okay.
So
I understand that you're feeling umbrage, but really, it's misplaced. This is a process, and the process occurs for everybody, the same way for everybody, regardless of whether you like them or not.
I didn't think, Don Moore Hudson, I'm a third ward supervisor.
How do you spell it?
Third.
No, it's Don. You know, that really isn't, your
Keith,
comments,
Keith, I can defend myself. I can defend myself.
Either for Carol or to Don.
Keith, I can defend myself here. Look, could we, excuse me, a couple of things. One, the more I hear about this, the more I am concerned about safety on this corner, and I don't see it as a trade-off. And frankly, I thought I heard you saying was you sort of wash your hands of what happens beyond the curb. And I mean, in terms of trying to come up with some plan that where this intersection would be better dealt with, because your store will have arguably a greater effect on that intersection.
My comment was not past the curb,
right.
I said that we would control the curbing, so meaning that the undefined curb cuts go to defined curb cuts, but
right.
We would also do, I'm assuming the planning board would require some type of traffic study, which would include a pedestrian accommodation.
Do you accept that you will, regardless of whether it's your responsibility technically, try to get involved in improving that intersection and the safety there?
Yeah, as a property owner, I would certainly be responsible. But my point is that without a site plan change, like bringing an entrance to the street, I don't think I could ever make a change that's substantive enough to make the intersection safer.
Arguing over a relatively small point about where your curb cuts are or not. That certainly would have to be part of the plan. But there's also the other issues of the intersection, how people get across.
It's not just the location of the curb cuts, it's the size of them. So currently they're unrestricted. So they're unrestricted curb cuts now, and they would go to restricted curb cuts in the future. Right now you can skirt around the outside.
I think that's wonderful. I do think though that you still have an increase. You're looking for a market increase in your business, which is an increase in the traffic.
Yeah, but the issue is that if you use the Institute for Transportation Engineers trip generation guidelines,
mm-hmm.
we're a 65% pass-by trip association. And the relevance there is that you're not leaving your house to go to Stewart's. The likelihood is you're already in your car and you're going to stop at Stewart's. Whether it's stopping at Stewart's because you need gas or you need water, but you're not leaving your house under the premise of going to Stewart's.
Go there for a particular kind of gasoline that you sell, and that's the only reason I go there. I don't live in the neighborhood, and I take Eileen's point about the relevance of buying food, et cetera. One more point.
Sure.
I don't think that you really are adequately addressing the impact of cars going in and out of a larger store just because of curb cuts. The other one, a question I had to ask you about was your tax figures. Because when you cited the tax figures, were you citing just property tax or combined of property tax and sales tax?
Yeah, so.
And sales tax.
Well, but.
So,
like
so right now, 162 Green pays. I mean, I'm going to use round figures, $2,600 in city and county, 17 to 19, I'm sorry. So how do you want me to outline?
Well, all I'm concerned about is that we be clear about property tax and sales tax.
So
if you're combining sales tax together, it's not a good number because we don't get, you know, all of your sales tax. We got maybe half of it if we're lucky.
No, less.
Less.
Because we share it with five other municipalities.
Okay, then the bulk of
right.
what comes back would not be the direct benefit to the city.
Right.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, just, I'll go ahead.
to echo some of what Dominic was saying, and I guess my question, I'm sorry, for your name.
Libby.
And I apologize for leaving. Someone wanted to attend who has a walker, and we don't cater to people that need assisted entrances. And that's it. Sorry. Anyhow, in all of the 130 stores you hope to do before you can finish this job.
It's a reference of making the small stores bigger.
Right. So clearly you've done a number already, and maybe in Troy or Albany you've run into this, but do any of your pedestrian studies result in the entire intersection or a significant crossing or something of that to that effect?
So we did. I've only done one store in the city of Troy that led to a pedestrian improvement. I've done two redevelopment like this in Troy. One is actually on the Town of Brunswick line. It's a very, the joke that to walk there you would need like an alpaca because it's hills, you know, every which way. But there we did a pedestrian improvement through signalization and a crosswalk. That would be identified in, I think, the transportation, I'm assuming your planning board would require transfer traffic impact study or traffic improvement study.
Does Stewart's require a pedestrian study? You do a volume study of cars.
I know how many transactions the store does. I don't have that number with me. I know how many transactions the store does. I know the average daily traffic according to New York State DOT. I can't pinpoint who walked up and who drove in because once they come in the door, that's when we identify them as a customer.
They're two essentially very different things. There's always going to be, especially with a pre-existing non-conforming use, a baseline of use that exists, and then the changes or modifications that might be reviewed through the planning process, they get studied to the satisfaction of the municipality, not to the satisfaction of stewards. And so if there are questions on pedestrian access and how people are going to access the store, then certainly either through the secret review process or the planning process or both, depending on where how seeker gets done in the city, that we're looking at that.
So in the host city agreement then, can we expect a financial commitment from stewards towards remediating this intersection? Making it safer? Well, regardless of, obviously not. We're not going to expect you to spend $1 million, but new lights, new pedestrian striping, curbing.
So you can expect. You can expect a financial commitment from stewards to the level of the problem, I guess you would say.
For a problem is mitigated. So the problems that get identified in the process, we are obligated to mitigate them, and that is done through the municipal review process. Not sure what we can talk about.
Correct. And there are elements where, stewards would say the if it was completely new, if it was completely new lights with bars and crosswalk, that number escalates very quickly and would be project prohibitive. But if it was existing lights with signalization and crosswalks, I do think that is something in the realm the project could sustain. It's like everything else. Once you start peeling the onion, there's a lot of layers, we can't do something without fixing the situation.
I think, the sense that I'm getting is that perhaps it is an attractive nuisance in the sense that it attracts cars crossing all these lanes of traffic if they're not coming from the on side lanes.
Well, also, John, I don't think it's Stewart's responsibility to fix a problem the city of Hudson has.
And, you know, as a city, what have we done as a community to address that problem lately? In my opinion, nothing. And, you know, this is my department, the issues year after year after year. Theoretically, you know, he did bring a little bit of rational thinking. Things aren't really going to change there unless we do something. And to anticipate a business having to do it, I think the city has a responsibility. First, what can we do there? And regarding what you all do or not, don't do, but it really brought to my mind, you know, this is a problem.
Yeah. You know, Eileen pointed out, it is two state truck routes crossing here,
yes,
joining. And Green Street is the busiest, most trafficked street in the city, and that is the most trafficked intersection in the city, according to the DOT study that was done, I think, 15.
And again, that is that Fastback Trips Association is why we are not going to move off that corner.
If he's put no left turns into there and the traffic in.
I don't think that's, well, I think Libby's thinking of it.
We can certainly get a crosswalk there. We could put a walk, because you see, it's the other thing. You're seeing people, neighbors who are trying to go to Stewart's, dodging cars left and right. It's silly.
I just want to speak to that for just one more second. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to go back to this point, because pedestrian and vehicle traffic are related but separate, in that we would have to demonstrate a safe site, right? So one of our obligations would be to talk about the relationship between pedestrian and vehicular use and any increase in size that would increase the number of cars. Those would be the discussions we'd be having. And likely have discussions about.
You had a question.
So I am a volunteer with WGXC. Would the city of Hudson be accountable when it comes to relocating the 21 individuals, or will the people be responsible for relocating themselves, finding their own housing, even if they've been priced out of their current accommodation? And also,
if they're priced out of their current accommodation, they'd be evicted because the accommodation is going to be torn down.
Right.
That's the plan, if it's approved. In terms of the city being responsible, no, of course not. The city's never responsible for that. However, the County Department of Social Services is. And once an eviction notice is served on a tenant, the Department of Social Services will begin working with that tenant or family to see to an orderly relocation, but we've also had an indication that there might be some assistance forthcoming from Stewart's as well.